Welcome to City of Dreams. I'm Dolan Collins, and filling in for the sick malt is Turtar.
Hello.
Hello. We're in the 80s tonight. We have The Shining, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Poltergeist, National Lampoon's Vacation, Gremlins, Goonies, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Roxanne the Accused, and Dead Poets Society. I just told Turtle it was the first time ever that we've had somebody on all the monologues, but I'm seeing now that nobody's on Raiders of the Lost Ark, unfortunately.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No.
That would have been a free 4 points. What'd you say?
That's like one of the only two movies that I've actually seen.
Turtle doesn't know any of the movies, so that's good because she can just read the setup and she won't have anybody to compare it to.
Well, I know the movies, I just haven't watched them.
The score is going into this round Team Bollywood 36, Team Heaven Sucks 46, Team Oscar 94.5, and Team Utterly Absurdist 140.5. Point values are still doubled, so they range from 2 to 20. We are going to listen.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
No,
keep
go
going.
Ahead. No, go ahead.
is Team Heaven Sucks. I'm guessing Heaven is not on that team.
Heaven is on that team. The actual full title of the team is Team Heaven Sucks Cock, but I didn't want to say that. So I just call them Team Heaven Sucks. It's more family appropriate, I think.
Who listens to this and is a minor?
Musical Tester? I don't know.
Should listen to this?
I don't know. What? The first monologue is from it's The Shining from 1980. Screenwriter Stanley Kubrick, Diane Johnson, Jack Torrance's foul-mouthed, annoyed reaction to wife Wendy invading his personal space while writing on his typewriter. So that's the setup for the monologue, Turtle.
I've seen this movie. Kubrick is Kubrick. So
Kubrick is fucked up, is what Kubrick, well, he was. in the best way possible. We have Blackjack on this monologue, so we're going to listen to him first.
Wendy, let me explain something to you. Whenever you come in here and interrupt me, you're breaking my concentration. You're distracting me. And it will then take me time to get back to where I was. Understand? I'm gonna make a new rule. Whenever I'm in here, and you hear me typing, whether you don't hear me typing, whatever the fuck you hear me doing in here, when I'm in here, that means I am working! That means don't come in! Now do you think you can handle that? Why don't you start right now and get the fuck out of here?
And Axel is also on this monologue.
Wendy, let me explain something to you. Whenever you come in here and interrupt me, you're breaking my concentration. You're distracting me. And it will then take me time to get back to where I was. Understand? I'm going to make a new rule. Whenever I'm in here and you hear me typing, whether you don't hear me typing, whatever the fuck you hear me doing in here, when I'm in here, that means that I am working. That means don't come in. Now do you think you can handle that? Why don't you start right now and get the fuck out of here?
Okay. Turtle, have you picked a winner? Independent, we haven't talked about it. I've picked a winner. Have you picked a winner?
Yes.
Okay, well, let's talk about Blackjack's first. Blackjack, I liked how it was sort of jerky in the levels because you totally sounded like you were going mad. I like how it built. And you sounded like you were talking down to a child when she first came into the room, and I really liked that. I thought this was really good for Jack Torrance. What did you think?
For Blackjack, I sort of thought that the beginning of the monologue was a little bit too much of a Jack Nicholson impression.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he built up his anger, then it was more like a set, you know, his own
interpretation.
Yes.
Yes.
of that character, and I liked it.
What did you think about Axel then?
I thought he was a little bit too passive. It started off in a very different direction, which was, it was good, but then there was no anger. It was just like, I'm angry. I'm so angry. Don't bother me. At like that level.
Yeah, you sounded so cheery, and then the fuck you did at the, you did kind of like a fake, and you're like, fuck! And so I think that took away from it. I picked Blackjack.
I chose blackjack as well.
The Utterly Absurdists get 2 points. They are at 142.5.
I have no idea what that means.
It doesn't matter. Just know that they are.
The points don't matter. This is not that show.
We will be right back. Okay, it's 2 hours later. I feel really sick tonight, so I took a little break. Turtle's playing League of Legends. So, while I wait for her to get back, Raiders of the Lost Ark, nobody was on that one. I really don't feel like reading it because I feel like crap, but it's the Raiders of the Lost Ark 1981, screenwriter Lawrence Kasdan. Any of you guys ever go to Sunday School Monologue? Multi-talented professor of archaeology, expert on the occult, adventurer, and obtainer of rare antiquities, Indiana Jones, spoke to two Army intelligence officers, Colonel Musgrove and Major Eaton. In his college classroom, he explained the significance of a Nazi Germany digging occurring on the desert outskirts of Cairo, Egypt, in the ancient city of Tanis, the possible resting place of the Ark of the Covenant, a biblical chest containing fragments of the Ten Commandments. This is probably going to make me feel worse, but... The Nazis have discovered Tanis. The city of Tanis is one of the possible resting places of the Lost Ark. Yeah, the Ark of the Covenant. The chest the Hebrews used to carry around the Ten Commandments. Yes, the actual Ten Commandments. The original stone tablets that Moses brought down out of Mount Horeb and smashed, if you believe in that sort of thing. Any of you guys ever go to Sunday school? Oh, look. The Hebrews took the broken pieces and put them in the Ark. And when they settled in Canaan, they put the Ark in a place called the Temple of Solomon, where it stayed for many years. Until all of a sudden, whoosh, it's gone. Well, nobody knows where or when. Later that evening, as Indy prepared for his journey for a lost 3,000-year-old object, museum curator Dr. Marcus Brody warned about the Ark. Not something to be taken lightly. No one knows its secrets. It's like nothing you've ever gone after before, Indy replied. Oh, Marcus, what are you trying to do, scare me? I mean, you sound like my mother. We've known each other for a long time. I don't believe in magic. A lot of superstitious hocus-pocus. I'm going after a find of incredible historical significance. You're talking about the boogeyman. Besides, you know what a cautious fellow I am. He threw a firearm into a suitcase. So, that's that. Poltergeist 1982 is what's up next. Screenwriters Steven Spielberg, Michael Graves, and Mark Victor. The Unseen Spirits. The spellbinding monologue by eccentric Tangina about Carol Ann's relation to the unseen spirits that had pulled her into their sphere. This monologue is worth 12 points. JC is up first on it. JC, take it away, sir.
There is no death. There is only a transition to a different sphere of consciousness. Carol Ann is not like those she's with. She's a living presence in their spiritual earthbound plane. They're attracted to the one thing about her that's different from themselves. Her life force. Oh, it is very strong. It gives off its own illumination. It is a light that implies life and memory of love and home and earthly pleasures. Something they desperately desire, but can't have anymore. Right now, she's the closest thing to that. And that is a terrible distraction from the real light that has finally come for them. Do you understand me? These souls, who, for whatever reason, are not at rest, are also not aware that they have passed on. They're not part of consciousness as we know it. They're in a perpetual dream state, a nightmare from which they cannot wake. Inside the spectral light is salvation, a window to the next plane. They must pass through this membrane with friends who are waiting to guide them to new destinies. Carol Ann must help them cross over, and she will only hear her mother's voice. Now, Hold on to yourselves. There's one more thing. A terrible presence is in there with her. So much rage. So much betrayal. Oh, I've never sensed anything like it. I don't know what hovers over this house, but it was strong enough to punch a hole into this world and take your daughter away from you. It keeps Carol Ann very close to it and away from the spectral light. It lies to her. It says things only a child can understand. He's been using her to restrain the others. To her, it simply is another child. To us, it is the beast. Now, let's go get your daughter.
Next up is Spirally.
There is no death. There is only a transition to a different sphere of consciousness. Carol Ann is not like those she's with. She's a living presence in their spiritual earthbound plane. They're attracted to the one thing about her that's different from themselves. Her life force. It is very strong. It gives off its own illumination. It is a light that implies life and memory of love and home and earthly pleasures. Something they desperately desire, but can't have anymore. Right now, she's the closest thing to that. And that is a terrible distraction from the real light that has come for them. Do you understand me? These souls who, for whatever reason, are not at rest, are also not aware that they have passed on. They're not part of consciousness as we know it. They're in a perpetual dream state, a nightmare from which they cannot wake. Inside this spectral light is salvation. A window to the next plane. They must pass through this membrane with friends who are waiting to guide them to new destinies. Carol Ann must help them cross over. And she will only hear her mother's voice. Now, hold on to yourselves. There's one more thing. A terrible presence is in there with her. So much rage. So much betrayal. I've never sensed anything like it. I don't know what hovers over this house. But it was strong enough to punch a hole into this world and take your daughter away from you. It keeps Carol Ann very close to it and away from the spectral light. It lies to her. It says things only a child can understand. He's been using her to restrain the others. To her, it simply is another child. To us, it is the beast. Now let's go get your daughter.
And Temp is on this one as well.
There is no death. There is only a transition to a different sphere of consciousness. Carol Ann is not like those she's with. She's a living presence in their spiritual, earthbound plane. They're attracted to the one thing about her that's different from themselves. Her life force. It is very strong. It gives off its own illumination. It is a light that implies life and memory of love and home and earthly pleasures. Something they desperately desire but can't have anymore. Right now, she's the closest thing to that. And that is a terrible distraction from the real light that has finally come for them. Do you understand me? These souls who, for whatever reason, are not at rest, are also not aware that they have passed on. They're not part of consciousness as we know it. They're in a perpetual dream state, a nightmare from which they cannot wake. Inside this spectral light is salvation, a window to the next plane. They must pass through this membrane with friends who are waiting to guide them to new destinies. Carol Anne must help them cross over, and she will only hear her mother's voice. Now hold on to yourselves. There's one more thing. A terrible presence is in there with her. So much rage. So much betrayal. I've never sensed anything like it. I don't know what hovers over this house, but it was strong enough to punch a hole into this world and take your daughter away from you. It keeps Carol Anne very close to it and away from the spectral light. It lies to her. It says things only a child can understand. He's been using her to restrain the others. To her, it simply is another child. To us, it is the beast. Now, let's go get your daughter.
Okay. That was Genesis, Spirally and Temporary Butterfly, and I'm here now with Scarlet. Hi, Scarlet.
Hi, long time no talk.
The only one that could bring Scarlet back, Dylan fucking Collins.
Yeah,
sure. I'm glad you're back.
Thank you.
It's just for a moment.
Only for a moment.
Between now and the time we were recording last, Turtle can't record now. So... I may just have different judges for every monologue tonight. I don't know what I'm going to do. But for this one, we're going to critique each one by one. So let's talk about Genesis first. Scarlet, do you want to start or do you want me to?
Am I supposed to be nice?
That would be helpful.
You can start.
I thought it was creepy. You sounded like a possessed doll. The slow way of talking creeped me out, and you sounded spacey. I thought you did a good job with it. I don't think Scarlet is going to be as charitable on any of these, though, because she was bitching about them secretly.
Oh my god, I'm sorry. That was so funny. Sorry, I feel like one of us should be like good cop, bad cop.
Okay, I'll be good cop.
Yeah, I always clearly have to be bad cop. Clearly you were right there. I think no matter how hard I try, I'm still going to be a good cop compared to that. However, I agree with everything you said.
Thank you.
A few of those were extra additive things that don't necessarily mean anything. In my vote, apparently you're a guy.
Yes, he is a guy. I thought you were talking about me.
Yeah.
I was like,
no.
Yeah, I'm totally a dude.
Yeah, okay,
Genesis is a guy, yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't believe it based on this. I also feel like I heard some distortion, so I don't know if you pitched her or not. I don't know what you say, but either way, look at your mic or don't pitch it. Let's see. Other than that, I felt that this was kind of underacted. Like, I understand that if you're trying to be some mythical creature or whatever you're supposed to be in this, plus, I also understand that your reference is an 80s movie, but, like, generally, 80s movies acting don't.
They have no choice. They had to do 80s this week.
Yeah, but, you know, like, make everything your own, honestly, and try to find your own acting style and just go with it and just make it your own. That's my advice.
All right, let's move on to Spiral. You can start on Spiral.
Okay, Spiral. Oh, I just dropped something there. Okay, Spiral, yours sounded just like Genesis's, like the same, pretty much. It sounded a little nicer to listen to. It flowed a little nicer, but I also felt that it didn't hold my attention like it should. Very much the same, where it felt very kind of like, I keep on saying, should stop that, but it felt underacted, if that's a word. But just, I don't know, just put more feeling into it and don't always just copy the references. Try to find your own personality within the monologue and just express it.
I can see where they're both like trying to be like in a trance state, maybe, is where they're going with it. That's my
opinion. Yeah. But I had a friend that watched a movie recently, and she was just like, man, it was so boring. Because, like, one problem with voice acting, I'd say, especially with, like, these trance-like characters, is sometimes you try to sound a lot more mature than you actually are. Mm-hmm. And especially because a lot of the audience, I don't know how old everyone is, but just, like, a lot of the kids here are, like, 14. And, like, you aren't going to sound old and majestic, like, no matter how hard you try. So then you'll, like, do a whole bunch of just, like, whispering tones to try to mature your voice or make it sound more mythical. But, like, really, just there's got to be better ways that I just can't think of right now.
I thought it sounded creepy and spacey and sort of hypnotic and kind of sexy. It was breathy. It kind of made me hot.
Dylan,
a little bit.
Dylan likes that.
I do. I like breathy. Temp, Rary Butterfly. Now,
okay, you can start with this one.
Okay. I thought it was a little bit big and overacty. It was very theater. And, like, I think we've talked about this before. Like, when you make a transition from theater to voice acting, you have to really tone it down. You can't be as big. I liked this read overall, too. I liked all three generally. Well, did you? Did you like this one? What did you think of this one?
I liked this one probably the most.
You're not supposed to say that yet. I haven't asked you for a decision yet.
Okay. I liked this one. Do you want me to just restart that so you can just edit it?
Nope. I don't edit.
Oh, you're not
edit.
You don't edit?
No.
Oh, what kind of radio show do you host?
This one.
Okay. I just happened to like this one. It's true. I did feel like I was watching a stage performance, even though I'm listening to voice acting.
You were watching it with your ears.
Yeah, I was watching it with my ears. Just you can hear the way that you project it as much like you would on a stage. But I liked it more just because I felt that you were actually taking the time to feel the sentences rather than just kind of say them and have them all blend together, because that's just kind of what was happening with the other two monologues for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just zone out and then just not listen, which is, I don't know, like, grab my attention, guys. You can do it. I'm not here to be nice. This
apparently
is just kind of like, no.
Apparently not.
This is Dylan just being like, hey, do you want to judge tonight? And I was like, okay, whatever.
She was nice when she co-judged acted. I apologize.
Yeah, I was so nice. I was probably so nice. She's Something's happened to me over the past year. It's just not happening anymore, guys. Sorry.
I'll beat her into submission by the time this night's over.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay, well, did you pick a winner?
Yes.
I did too. Who did you pick?
I wonder. Maybe Temp.
I actually like Spiralese the best. I think it was trancy and like it sort of
yeah,
was hypnotic.
Yeah, it was between the two for me. It was between the two. But I value emotion, even if it's a little bit over the top. I feel like it's important.
Well, Team Bollywood, which is Spiral's team, they split the points. She gets 6 points, and Team Oscar, which is Temp's team, gets 6 points. Scores now. Total, Team Heaven Sucks Dick, 46. Team Bollywood, 42. Team Utterly Absurd, 142.5. And Team Oscar, 100.5. So Team Oscar and Team Utterly Absurd are pretty far ahead. But that could all change next, because in the next monologue, we have National Lampoon's Vacation, 6 points. And I set up the monologue, so I'm going to do that now. National Lampoon's Vacation, 1983. Screenwriter John Hughes, half-crazed Clark Griswold's deranged foul-mouth exhortation and rant to his beleaguered family to press on to Wally World. The only person on this is Sundance Girl, so we're just going to go ahead and listen to that right now.
I think you're all fucked in the head! We're 10 hours from the fucking fun park, and you want to bail out! Well, I'll tell you something. This is no longer a vacation. No. It's a quest. A quest for fun! I'm gonna have fun, and you're gonna have fun! We're all gonna have so much fucking fun, we'll need plastic surgery to remove our goddamn smiles! You'll be whistling zip buddy doo dah out of your assholes! I gotta be crazy! I want a pilgrimage to see a moose! Praise Marty Moose! Holy shit!
That was Sundance Girl, and she was the only one on that monologue, so she gets 6 points for her team, which is Team Heaven Sucks. So they are at 52 now. Next up is 1984, 8 points, Gremlins. Screenwriter Chris Columbus, The Death of Santa Claus, the tragic black comedy story that Kate Berenger told her boyfriend bank clerk Billy Peltzer about how she felt about how she found out there was no Santa Claus, another reason to hate Christmas. Let's listen to Rochellular.
The worst thing that ever happened to me was on Christmas. Oh God, it was so horrible. It was Christmas Eve. I was 9 years old. Me and Mom were decorating the tree, waiting for Dad to come home from work. A couple hours went by. Dad wasn't home, so Mom called the office. No answer. Christmas Day came and went, and still, nothing. So the police began a search. 4 or 5 days went by. Neither one of us could eat or sleep. Everything was falling apart. It was snowing outside. The house was freezing, so I went to try to light up the fire, and that's when I noticed the smell. The firemen came and broke through the chimney top, and me and Mom were expecting them to pull out a dead cat or a bird. And instead, they pulled out my father. He was dressed in a Santa Claus suit. He'd been climbing down the chimney on Christmas Eve, his arms loaded with presents. He was going to surprise us. He slipped and broke his neck. He died instantly. And that's how I found out there was no Santa Claus.
That was Rochelle.
Yes, it was.
That was good, Rochelle. You haven't scored very highly on this show, but this is some of the best acting you've done on the show. I really like this one. I just want to tell you that. And Scarlett, you liked it too, right?
Yeah, I did really like it. I'd give you double points if I had.
Well, you don't.
The power to.
Well,
and I
you
don't.
Well, you don't. Well, so don't even try.
Oh.
But she got 8 points, and that puts her team at 60 now. They're rapidly gaining points this round.
You guys can do it.
You can. I think your new strategy is paying off for you. I won't say what your strategy is, but I think it's paying off. Oh, yeah. Are you ready to go to 1985, Scarlett?
Oh, I've always been ready.
Setting the time machine for the Goonies, worth 10 Ooh. Points. Heaven Incarnate's on this one. Are you ready to listen?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait, I have to set it up. Do you want to set it up?
Do I want to set it up?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I feel so honored.
I know, it's your first foray back into voice acting in like a year.
Oh my God, guys.
I believe I believe in you.
Okay, I'll set it up.
Okay. Anytime you're ready.
I don't know. What am I supposed to say?
Just say like the Goonies 1985 screenwriter.
Okay. Oh shit. Let me just get the information up.
All right.
Oh, Jesus. Sorry. That's okay. Sorry, guys. I apologize.
They forgive you for this.
Ha ha ha. Okay. So, The Goonies, 1985. Screenwriter was Chris Columbus. And Heaven Incarnate's done his whatever.
He has.
Take of it, yeah.
The confession by fat kid Lawrence Chunk Cohen when interrogated by the Fratellis and he spilled his guts. Let's hear Heaven play a fat kid. Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't realize you wanted me to read all of that.
Well, I did, and you failed.
Yeah.
Kicking you off the show now.
I can do it next time, okay. Or the one after
we'll see.
The next
we'll
time.
We'll see if I let you.
Oh. No, you will let me.
We'll see.
Everything! Okay, I'll talk. In third grade, I cheated on my history exam. In fourth grade, I stole my Uncle Max's toupee, and I glued it on my face when I played Moses in my Hebrew school play. In fifth grade, I knocked my sister Edie down the stairs, and I blamed it on the dog. When my mom sent me to the summer camp for fat kids, and then they served lunch, I got nuts, and I picked out, and they kicked me out. But the worst thing I ever done, I mixed about a fake puke at home, and then I went to this movie theater, and the puke in my jacket, climbed up to the balcony, And then I made a noise like this. And then I dumped it over the side, all over the people in the audience. And then this was horrible. All the people started getting sick and threw throwing up all over each other. I never felt so bad in my entire life.
That was Heaven Incarnate on the Goonies. Nobody else was on that one. That is worth 10 points, so 10 more points go to Team Heaven Sucks. They are at 70 points now, Scarlet.
Scarlet? Yes. Spot? Were you
Spiralsaurus Spot? Scarlet?
Oh, I thought you were about to just call me Spot. I was
speak,
like, what?
Girl. Speak. Yeah, so he got 10 points. Nobody, there's not a lot of doubling up this week like there normally is. You picked a good week to be here.
I didn't really much pick it, but cool.
I picked a good week to demand your appearance.
Yeah, that works.
I just want you to know that recently they had a listen party for Nature of Jade and everybody was so excited to hear you act.
Oh my God, and then I was so monotone.
Now they're going to hear you be a total bitch and they're going to be like, oh, why did we like her again?
Oh man, I'm so monotone in Nature of Jade.
Are you?
Yeah, no.
I didn't listen, but I heard people liked your performance.
Oh, that's nice.
I think you were nominated for an award for it.
Really?
I think you were.
Sorry, guys, I haven't been around.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on.
She's busy at the bakery.
Yeah. Well, not quite. I've been doing my major.
Which is baking.
No, in college, I go for media arts, as in it's like almost the real business of this, except I'm behind the scenes. So instead of being the performer, I'm the person going, no, you sound like shit.
So basically, this is just practice for you.
Not really. It depends what field I want to go into.
All right, this is boring. Let's move on.
Yes.
We're moving on. When we get back, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, 1986, screenwriter John Hughes, do you want to attempt to read this again to set it up?
Yes, okay. I do.
I believe in you.
Okay, I'm going to start from the beginning, though, because okay. I think I'm cooler.
All right,
yeah.
All right.
Okay, so it's Ferris Bueller's Day Off, 1986, screenwriter John Hughes, and how to fake out parents and avoid school. So, yeah. So after the credits, during which smug and confident bedridden Ferris Bueller, Matthew Broderick, in brackets, that was, told his parents that his stomach hurt and he was seeing spots and his hands were clammy, and then directed instructions to the camera about how to successfully avoid school.
That was perfect. You are a much better reader than the usual co-judge. I want you to know that.
Thank you, because I really, I'm like, so half the time I'm like, oh God.
You're really what?
Partially dyslexic.
Well, it totally worked for this.
Okay.
The dyslexia added a whole other dimension to it.
Oh, that's nice.
These monologues were 16 points. When we get back, it'll be a battle between Janie and Jeffers. Stay tuned. Dun, dun, dun.
Can you imagine a world where all you can see is nothing?
Hey, Valk, look at this funny picture I saw. Oh, Valkyrie Celestkin, this summer. Yo, Valk, wanna go sightsee? Oh, shit, I forgot. A heartwarming film from the directors of The Blind Side. Valk, oh my God, you have to come watch this show. Sightless in Seattle, starring renowned actress Angelina Jolie as Valkyrie Celeste. Get ready to see the world